think up to three. At the end of chapter 2, there was something mentioned in verse 21 about putting salt in water. So we were talking about that today, a little bit about that. And let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words, and I do pray you to help us be faithful to your words. Help us to see this Old Testament story, but yet there are some things sprinkled throughout your word that's fascinating, and help us to learn from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sometimes, the Bible will just kind of tuck some truths inside there. And verse 21... it says in chapter 2, he went forth unto the spring of the waters and cast salt in there. That seems kind of strange. And I think there's a health thing we can get out of that. So the devil is going to counterfeit everything of God. And a lot of times when we put something in our body, we think it's for our good, but it's not for our good. And that's another ploy of Satan. And so, water, does it matter what kind of water you drink? Okay, a lot of people wouldn't think so, but water portrays, in the Bible, it portrays several things. One, salvation, and Jesus is called the living water, and the Holy Ghost is called the living water. And then it's also portrayed as the Bible. So if you hold your finger here and go to Deuteronomy 32. So the water we get out of our well, it's probably the best well water I've ever had. I thought the farms was pretty good, but it's got a little more iron in it. And ours is 48 feet deep. So down in DeMott, the one thing that's advantageous in DeMott area is the water is very good because it's a sand filter. And so that's why I bring up here, back there in the waiting room back there, Jan's waiting room. Don't drink low water out of the spigots. We ought to look into getting a good filter system on the spigots. That might not be a bad idea. Because city water will have chlorine and fluoride in it. The purpose of the fluoride was used in a Nazi and Russian prison camps to tame down the prisoners. That's what it was intended to do. And the chlorine kills good and bad bacteria. So they're messing with the water in the cities. In Europe, some of the European countries in some areas are better than the States regarding health, regarding spiritual health. They're pathetic. And they'll have some of their towns will put peroxide, hydrogen peroxide, in the water replacement of chlorine. Okay, and then in Europe, GMO seeds are illegal. They got that right. So in Deuteronomy 32, the kind of water that's the best water that's available, 32:1, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. So rainwater, which is naturally soft, my speech shall distill as the dew. Distilled water, that's changed in every new Bible. They removed distilled out of there. As a small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass. Now, Jan's father built a, he had in his basement a place for storage for water. He would collect off the gutters, and he had a cistern. And you'll find that in Proverbs, drink water out of thine own cistern. But people don't do that anymore. But yet the water, when they would use it, when they had enough, and we could shower with, it was naturally soft, the rainwater. So in this one, the ideal water, rainwater, distilled water, okay, small rain. Now, of course, the first thing when the rain comes down, it's cleansing the air. So if you wait a few minutes and then get it after that, that's that fresh smell of a rainstorm. And the lightning produces peroxide by the lightning, and that's what purifies the water. So we got those covered as far as that goes. You can get online and type in findaspring.com, and it where springs are located, natural springs. There's one in DeMott, but that was a result of a natural gas. They were drilling for oil or natural gas, I forget, and hit water. And it's there's a house there, but that's sulfur. You could smell the sulfur on that one, but it just continually runs. And there's closest one I know from here is Delphi. So I'm not going to go down to Delphi, but that's where it's at. Heidi has one 20 minutes from her house. And so her and Jim go to church, they'd always go to the well. It's fun to go out into the bush and bring some, except 5 gallons, you know, 10 gallons water, you know, kind of wears you out. So, but yet there's another additional thing on water, and that's salt. Okay, now Morris encourages that you put a couple granules of salt under your tongue before you drink water. Joe and Callie's been studying Baja Gold salt, because the salt is not, any salt is not, the devil's going to counterfeit everything. And so there's a lot of lead in some of the salt. And so you could put that in the water, and that gives minerals in the water. So, and that's what helps your cells absorb the water. Most of our problems are dehydration. Alzheimer's patients do not like to drink water, and that hydrates their brain. Okay, and a lot of times people are depressed, they don't drink enough water. And so putting a little bit of salt in your water, we're going to kind of study this a little out further, but it helps dehydrate. Now, we farmers, you know, we dumb farmers, we don't know anything, but dairy farmers and cattle farmers have put a salt block out there for a reason. And the salt block is designed to allow the cow, one, to create its thirst, but two, to allow their body to absorb the water. And that's what the salt's for. But, you know, farmers, we're dumb. We don't know anything. So I remember playing basketball at Lowell High School, and we'd play Crown Point, and they thought we were just a bunch of dumb farmers. And they would come to the games in bib overalls mocking us and everything. And I always thought to have fun, but you dumb city slickers, you have to let us grow your food for you. But that's how it works. But those are just some suggestions on drinking water and some ideas. And I think it's very important that we drink the right amount of water, and then it's got some minerals. The problem with distilled water is that nothing's in it. And so when you add the salt, then you get the minerals. Okay, so we have a water distiller in our basement plus a corn distiller, but that's for something else. So... coppersteel.com. You can get a copper steel from there. That'll send some more rumors out. There you go. Years ago, Felipe and I were, you know, we had to buy some vodka for our tinctures. And he had a jacket on that said Bible Baptist or something. And then he said, hey, so he covered it. And we bought the vodka. Well, we were down at Myers one time buying something. You feel bad doing that, but we told this lady, we're buying it for tinctures. And she said, oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. So that was kind of nice. She knew, but most people don't know why you're buying this stuff. And so, yes. And of course, you know, the spoon, it's okay to have it in a spoon, but you want to make sure it's a very large spoon. You know, that's okay. That's acceptable. Okay, so that's all that in verse 21. And I do believe the Bible will sprinkle things in like this to get us to think about some things. A lot of these health ideas, if you look at the alternative health, you go to any health food store, and if you look in a corner, you probably see a broom, and that's probably the gal's transportation to the store. And why is it that that crowd... Now, that crowd needs to try to live longer. It keeps them away from hell more. Okay, but if that crowd is interested in it, that will deter Christians from being interested. And what's the number one prayer request in churches is everybody's sick. And so you reap what you sow, and that entails saved and lost alike. So I really firmly believe that of the crowns that's given out at the judgment seat, the five clear ones, maybe two others, those aren't as clear. The one is the crown of the uncorruptible crown, and that's taking care of your physical body like an athlete would, and I think that will be the most difficult crown to earn. And the Lord wants us to take care of our body. Why? So we can be efficiently serving the Lord. And so I know for a fact that there was no way that Jan and I can keep this schedule up with two churches without taking care of our body. It's impossible. And so you reap those benefits. So just take it for what it is. Water, salt, experiment with your own body and see how it works out for you. Chapter 3. Okay, now the narrative is Jehoram, the son of Ahab. So we know about Ahab. He's a pretty bad cat. And so his son is going to replace them. They don't have, you know, elections or anything like that. And King James became a king when he was 18 months old. How would you like to have for it? I've got to go change a king's diaper. And King James became king of Scotland at 18 months, and then a few years later became king of England. And so now Jehoram, the son of Ahab, began to reign over Israel in Samaria the 18th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and we read about him earlier, reigned 12 years. And he wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father and like his mother. So that shows us that children can go, contrary to their parents' wishes. But he's still a bad cat. He's still evil, but not as evil as his parents. For he put away the image of Baal, Baal, however they want to pronounce it, and that his father had made. So he got rid of this statue. And this would be the goat-headed statue. Baal is the goat-headed thing. Baphomet, that's what the Masons secretly worship, Baphomet. It'll be a goat head, and he's got two fingers up like the Pope giving a, you know, blessing, you know, a curse. Okay, and he's a male-female entity. That's what Baal is, and that's all through the Old Testament. Then you got Ashtoreth and Chemosh and Moloch. All these are aliases of the same creature, Leviathan. The devil has all these aliases just to deceive people. And so I put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless, he cleaved on the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin. Okay, and so when leadership sins, then people for some reason in their mind think, well, if he can do it, then I can do it also. And that doesn't justify anything. But people think they can do that and get away with it. And he departed not hereon. And then Meshach, king of Moab, was a sheep master. So this country, so Samaria is up north. Then Judah's the two southern. And you got the Jordan River coming down through the middle. And then the King's Highway is on the east side of the Jordan River. And then when you're going south, then you got Moab and Edom's down south. Moab would be probably the northern part of Saudi Arabia today. And then Edom is modern-day Jordan. So down there in Moab area, because of the desert-like thing, that they chose to raise sheep, and then they're going to export this sheep. And this is how this works, you know, where a country will specialize in something, minerals or whatnot, and then they can export these things, trade with other nations. This is free trade, and it's a good thing to do. And so Meshach, king of Moab, was a sheep master, rendered unto the king of Israel, and 100,000 lambs. Pretty good exporting. And 100,000 rams with the wool. So how do you get this transported from way down south? You got to take this way up north, up to the King's Highway probably. And so they're getting that up north. And it came to pass when Ahab was dead that the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. Because they had this deal, and so he's thinking the next king is not going to, you know, he's going to try to finagle this. And of course, notice these are the kings, and then what are they going to use? They're going to use the common people to enforce their laws. And that's how government works. And so then verse 6, and the king Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time, that's up north, numbered all Israel, so they took a census. So we do census in America, what, every 10th year and 20th year, something like that. And that's how they get a lot of information with people. But all you're required to do is tell them a number. You know, I remember last one that came to my house. When you got this census stuff, I said, all you need to know is 4. That's it. That's all. I said, 4. Bye. And then they have to leave because they're trying to collect all this information is what they're trying to do. Now, when Israel did this, then Lord had to have, they had to give a certain financial retribution to the Lord in order to do that, because when you number the army, then it goes to their head. And so the Lord wanted to kind of keep that down. And that's how he did that. And so, and he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, saying, the king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Oh, like you're somebody. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle? The answer should have been, no. Mind your own business. We're not going to meddle in the strife of somebody else. But these kings are elite-minded people. They think they're above the commoners, and there's often inner between these kings and their families. And so then he's going to comply, and he said, I will go up, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses thy horses. Now that is contrary to scripture, that's contrary to the Lord's ways. But the Lord is laying it out, what they do. He's telling the truth about these people. He's not covering it up. Just because he is recording this doesn't mean God approves of this behavior. Verse 8, and he said, which way shall we go up? And he answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. So then they're sending these armies down south, the wilderness of Edom, southern tip below Judah and whatnot. Okay, and the Edomites, that's the descendants of Esau. And they're going to be the ones who rat out the Jews in the tribulation. And they're going to be the ones that God is going to obliterate at the end of the tribulation. Okay, and so that's the Edomites. The Lord's going to take care of all that stuff. Verse 9, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah, and the king of Edom. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey. And there was no water for the host, for the cattle that followed them. So they're going down a desert area, desolate area, and no water for them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together." Oh, really? He did? Really? Boy, the God sure gets a credit for a lot of things. And you'll hear this in church. The Lord is leading me. Yeah. The Lord is leading me to take this knife and stab it in your back. The Lord, and I'm doing this with love. I mean, the Lord gets credit for a lot of things that he don't, he's not getting the credit, you know. And so this, what a pious thing, this guy. The Lord hath called these three kings. No, you did it, bud. You're the one that did that. And you're just trying to make it as pure spiritual. And this is often what people do. It's amazing how spiritual politicians get before elections. You know, how really they're spiritual. Okay, well, that's what the guy said. And he said, to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Exclamation point. The Lord has called us and this is going to happen. Well, that's your opinion. Now, Jehoshaphat had enough religion in him, enough Judaism in him, that he's saying, something isn't quite right here. And he says, let's get, and remember, and you remember, he did this in the previous chapter, in chapter 22 of, in the 1 Kings, in 1 Kings 22. And that's when he said to Ahab, hey, is there a prophet? You got a prophet that's not a yes man? He said, I know Jezebel's prophets, they're all going to do what she wants done. Do you got somebody that's going to tell us the truth? And then Ahab said, yeah, I got my Kaiah, but I don't like the guy. I hate him. And then Jehoshaphat said, well, come on, don't talk like that. Well, then he came and told him the truth. So Jehoshaphat's doing the same thing. I would have thought by that, you know, come on, fella, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. And now you're going to get it again. But he, as a king, is not going to be in the battle. So he's putting something, someone else out there to do his dirty deeds. And this is where David got in trouble. It says David got in trouble when kings went forth to battle and he didn't go. And so, and that's what just, it just grates at me, these stinking politicians, how they use the American soldiers the way they do, and then they treat them like garbage when they come back, and then they don't even take care of them like in, you know, the VA and all that stuff. These politicians are just absolutely scum. And, you know, I would say a good constitutional rule is, technically, our government's not supposed to go to war until Congress votes for it. And if a congressman or a thing or a person or whatever they're pretending to be vote for that, they should have a family member to be in the front line. And that kind of make them think about those things a little bit more. But, yeah, they just sent them out there. So Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So he knows that these guys are lying to him. So he wants to hear the truth. And the one that was chosen at this stage is Elisha. So you had Elijah first, and now Elisha is his replacement. And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphath, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. So he was Elijah's servant, like Joshua was to Moses. And so now Jehoshaphat knows about Elisha. And so he said, the word of the Lord is with him. Okay, and that's a phrase that they often use. The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. So three guys. And I love how these prophets talk to these dudes. And Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? What do you want, bud? You know, what do you want, bud? I don't have anything to do with you. And so what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. Boy, is that not rubbing it in their face. And you know the Lord's going to do this in the trib? When the Jews have set up their pagan deities as they have. The pagan gods that's overrunning in Israel right now, all the pagans that's going on in Israel, the Lord's going to taunt these Jews. Hey, why don't you pray to Chemosh? Okay, I'm gonna send some locusts. Why don't you just pray to Chemosh and see if they can get rid of that? And he's going to rub it in their face. And I mean, these people have mocked the Lord all these years. Don't you think the Lord's going to get tired of it? And it's time for him to mock them back. And Proverbs chapter 1 says in that first 3.5 years when Israel is kowtowed to the Antichrist, the Lord is going to mock them people. Now, when they recognize the Antichrist is the Antichrist and come to the real Christ, then the Lord will guide them through. And so this is kind of a pattern where the Lord's set this up, and he's saying, why don't you just go to your prophets? And these people, you know, people say, well, I don't like the King James Bible. Okay, go get your NIV and read it. You know, see how that pans out for you. If you don't care what the Word of God says, hey, that's your choice. Try that out for a while. And the king of Israel said unto him, nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. When I was kind of making a transition from a fundamentalist to a Bible believer, you know, through the years, and the rest of their church kind of came along with me, so we was learning together. I was coming across some of these ideas that I was learning from Ruckman, teaching them, and there's a family in Rensselaer that they were getting peeved. And they just, you know, couldn't accept this idea, accept that idea, and finally they just said, we're out of here. And I said, okay, well, you haven't refuted anything I said, so we're out of here. So what I did is, there's a guy in California, Ruckman called him Hot Dog Heimers. And he was saying Ruckman's a doctrine of devils and all this other stuff. So I wrote this guy and I said, hey, I got a friend that his pastor's a Ruckmanite, referring to me. And I said, would you send your book that you wrote against Ruck, send it to this guy? And so he did. He sent it to him. I didn't want to pay for it, so he sent it to him. And this guy was happy to say anything against Ruckman. And so 2 or 3 months go by, and our acquaintance, and we had a meet up again. He and I met up again. And I said, how you doing? He said, well, the Lord's really led us. I said, oh, okay, good. He said, you know, I got this book, and I learned a lot of things. And I said, you did? Where'd he come from? California. I said, yeah, I had him send it to you. Why would you do that? I said, well, if you don't want to accept the truth, then you can be deceived, and he's just helping you out. He didn't know how to handle that. I just said, okay, that's how it goes. And off they go. The Lord does the same thing. If a person rejects the truth, he will send a lie, and they will justify themselves in that. Boy, that's a different way of approaching things. That's how I approached it. Okay, and so that's what Elisha was doing here. Go to your prophets. Go ahead, go to them. See how that pans out. And then in 14, and Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, that's an oath. That is not going to change. There's no flexibility after he makes that statement. As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would and look forward to thee, nor see thee. Right in front of these two kings. It wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be here. Now, I had a friend down in the Indianapolis area, and we were going to this conference in this one place, and the pastor, the dad, was a good man, and his son wasn't like the dad. And so my friend Tony went to the meeting, and the son said to him, he said, "Man, I'm sure glad you're here to support us." And Tony just said, "I ain't here for you, bud. I'm here for your dad. I wouldn't be here for you." So, oh, man, that's a jam. And because his son wasn't in the same mold as his dad was. And you could see it, and people in the church saw it too. And I think the son went toward the contemporary route. But that's how Tony treated, and that's exactly what Elisha is saying. If it weren't for that man right there, I wouldn't waste any time with you two. And so, said in the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, "I would not look toward thee nor see thee. But now bring me a minstrel, and it shall come to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him." Notice the power of music. What's the megahertz? Is it 432 is the good megahertz? And there's a megahertz on music that the devil is, I think, shifted it to 440. Huh, Mike?
440 now, at least
432. 432 aids the body. 432, but when the devil shifts it to 440 megahertz, that it doesn't aid the body. Ain't the devil subtle? And that's what he's done with the music. So when the right kind of music draws the right kind of spirits. So, you know, music is so powerful. Of course, it was music that David played on the harp that repelled the unclean spirits of on Saul. And a lot of contemporary churches, you know, the music that they're playing is conjuring up more and more devils throughout the service. And then they give them watered-down message, and no wonder those people are the way they are. And this is why we got to make sure our music is just right on and stay with it, because that's the first thing that starts going down the tubes, is the music. So in this case, notice the importance of music. And so we can gain through God's Spirit by the right kind of music. And so after the minstrel played, it draws the good spirit, the Holy Ghost. He said, "Thus saith the Lord." Now we got a statement. "Make this valley full of ditches." So he's given them military advice. "For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand." Boy, that's quite a thing. So, verse 17, where does this water come from? Underground streams. While we're sitting here, there's underground water that's passing through. And so, and we've learned some of these things from Morris, and I really don't understand some of it, but there's ley lines, and then there's water that's passing through, and if there's an underground stream under where you sleep, it's going to cause your sleep to be restless. And can you move it? I don't know. Morris says you can move it. I don't know how that works. But there's something to that. It's amazing. And it's water that's under the ground. And all the Lord does, he just opens up the spigot. And he's promised them a victory in spite of the bad company that Jehoshaphat is keeping here. "And ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." I think someone did that in our farm, because we're constantly picking them up. Man, oh man. We caught these two kids shooting out the windows of our tractor, and And the police said to my dad, do what you want. Dad said, okay, they got to work with us, pick up rocks for 2 days. One kid got a lawyer, didn't do a thing, ended up in and out of jail for a long time. And the other kid did what Dad said. And after one day, Dad said, I think you learned your lesson. I'm thinking to myself, man, I learned my lesson a long time ago, Dad. Why can't I quit out of this? Man, we picked up rocks every spring. And then plus throughout the time, we had a big thing on our tractor. We'd always put the rocks on there. And one we kept hitting this one rock when we plowed, and every year it'd trip a plow, every year. And finally, Dad said, let's dig that thing up. And if you go to the farm, right by the garage, that rock turned out to be that big. And it was just the tippy top that would trip the plow. We dug that thing up and put it right there by the garage. That thing is huge. Okay, and so ruined the ground by putting stones in it. Verse 20, and it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered. So because Israel had a religion and a government together, then they would get God's direction, okay, in military thing. This is different than the New Testament. Even though in the New Testament, we can rely upon a lot of things, like Psalm 91 and things like that. But under the Old Testament, they would get orders from God this way. And they behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Wouldn't that have been fascinating to see? When all the Moabites heard that the kings were come up to fight against them, they gathered all that were able to put on armor and upward and stood in the border. They rose up early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side was red as blood. It's the Lord playing with their minds. And they said, this is blood. And the kings were surely slain. And they had smitten one another, and now therefore Moab to the spoil. They thought, man, the Lord is masterful in this. These guys thought that they were, the other party was infighting, and they're going after him, and it was just a setup, the ploy the Lord set up. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them. And they went forward, smiting the Moabites, even in their own country. And they beat down the cities, and in every good piece of land cast every man his stone, and filled it, stopped all the wells of water, and felled all the good trees. So that'd be like the fruit trees, cherry trees, anything they had. Only in Kirhath-Seth left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about it and smote it. Slingers, there's the sling that David had. It's an ancient form of a gun. Small projectile. You could throw at a distance. And so that, that's how David killed Goliath. People tend to think, David was scared only if the gun jammed. You take a gun to a knife fight. Tony York was down there in Indianapolis street preaching. He had a gun under his coat, and some guy pulled a knife on him. And Tony just went like this, and the guy took off. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And that was insurance that deterred the crime. And so that's what the slingers were. They're good at that. And when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords. Bodyguards. Dirty dog. To break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. Whoa. Kind of a dad would do that. Trying to appease his God. Kill his own kid. And there was great indignation against Israel. And they departed from him and returned to his own land. Them Oriental kings, they don't mess around. And so, yeah, what a thing. Boy, that's when you don't want to be a king's son, that's for sure. Okay, so that's chapter 3, and we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to learn some things from your words, and I pray you'd maybe guide our study a little bit more on water and that salt thing. Maybe we can find some good salt, and I pray you'd bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen.